Good morning. It's awesome to be with you guys this morning on this side of the camera. So I have, not a problem, I suppose, but everybody kind of has their thing, all right? So some of you guys out there are big denizens of Facebook land, and you just love Facebook, and I respect that. I really do. I mean, we're on it right now. It's a good platform. But everyone knows, I think, deep down in their heart, that the best form of social media is Twitter, of course, because no one can rant. It's the best. And I love Twitter. I probably get myself into trouble on Twitter a lot. But I had a conversation with somebody this week, kind of a brief one, on Twitter. And it was regarding somebody who had said something to the effect of, God is bigger than a virus. And then they had died from the virus. And somebody in Twitter comments had very callously, I suppose, said that showed that God was, I don't know, whatever. And I just thought it was amazing to me because of what a lack of perspective that totally was. And to come back to this idea, for the Christian, death is not at all defeat in any kind of way, in any kind of sense. Like it's so much not defeat for us that it's almost laughable to consider that. And I was just kind of having this super short dialogue over Twitter with this person, like, Christianity doesn't promise absence from suffering. It promises so much better, so much greater than that, that this thing happening isn't proof of anything other than that what hope we have in God despite anything else. So as I was kind of thinking about Devos today, I was drawn back to just that idea of that death is no defeat for us as Christians. And so I'm going to put it in chat, but I'm going to share with you guys a little brief teaching that I did with, I just put the link in chat. This is I used to teach at the school here, and I would do Intro to Christianity, and with the ninth graders, I would go through we'd go through the book of John and then also topics in Christianity. And so I just wanted to talk to you guys today in a really basic way about heaven and hell and why death for the Christian is no defeat. So if you want to, you can look at that document. There's a ton of stuff on it. I'll be on the section that says heaven and hell. And I'm just going to go through it and then connect it back to that conversation on Twitter and then pray and we'll be done. So first, heaven. First of all, what is heaven? Where does it come from? We're just going to kind of go bullet point through the word. First of all, God created heaven. sorry. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? It's a created place, which is interesting. It seems to be part of this physical world in some sense. It's tied in. There's a lot of different interesting theories on that, but it is not necessarily outside of physical space-time or anything else like that. As far as we know, God made it. It is his dwelling place, if you can call anything that. In Psalms 123, verse 1, it says, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens." What is heaven? Well, there are three things in heaven, in the Bible, that are referred to as heaven. The first one is actually Earth's atmosphere. So in Genesis chapter 1, it says the birds fly in the heavens. It's not what we're talking about necessarily. The universe, stars, space itself is called heaven in Scripture. Like, he set the stars in the heavens. And then you have this third thing where God dwells, where the throne of God is, right? And that is the heaven that you think of. You probably think of, like, Precious Moments figurines and clouds and golden stuff, which it's so much more than that, which I'm going to get to. If I'm just kind of, like, facting you right now and you're like, what? Wait, because we're going to draw this to a point. Who lives in heaven? Well, God does. I mean, obviously we are kind of referring to God here by human terms. God invented the idea of space. Like, even saying that God is everywhere is true, but it almost is an understatement, because God isn't not necessarily. That was a good one. He invented the idea of where. But we say that he lives in heaven, and it talks about the throne of God is there, you know, worship and everything else. We have the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, and the four living creatures. When I would talk about this in my ninth grade class, inevitably, someone would raise their hand and be like, what are angels like? And you have the whole fun conversation about, basically, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot. So, and we go through a little bit about what it says, but don't go off on the worship of angels, you know? And then those who have died in Christ before us. So in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we see that, that those who depart from here dwell with the Lord in heaven. What's in heaven? The throne of God, a place for us. What is heaven like? This is where it starts to get fun. I want you to think about this, and this is going to come into play, especially when we talk about hell. What is the chief possible good that can happen in your own life? Because we think of heaven and what heaven is like a lot of times in terms of the possible good, right? That it is, and it, as it says in Scripture, there is no more death, there is no more crying, there is no sickness or pain. There is the fullness of joy in the presence of God. But why? What is the best possible thing that a human being can ever experience or walk through? The answer, scripturally, is a love relationship with God. Intimate relationship with the Maker. And there is nothing greater than that. And so in heaven, as we'll see in its converse as well, is the fulfillment and the deepest expression of face-to-face, no longer through a mirror dimly, but face-to-face. We will have a love relationship with the Lord that is far beyond anything that we can have here on earth in the presence of sin and everything else. But of course, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Unimaginable. I do have this conversation. Eternity is a long time. Will it get boring? No. God invented music. He invented color. He invented games, I don't know, and design and everything else that gives us joy. Like every good and perfect gift comes from above, right? From the Father of lights. In heaven, we have a new body which with a greater capacity for joy, an ever-increasing capacity for joy. We worship an infinite God. As a kind of fun explanation of this, just in a small way, and obviously, again, the chief thing will be here, relationship with God, but just in how small our potential understanding is. I like this idea of colors. It's a really basic idea. If you take a ruler from LA to New York and you draw out the entire electromagnetic spectrum, I suppose, of what we would consider light, all the way down from like radio waves and x-rays and visible light, the amount of light that we can see represents about an inch at that scale. And, you know, just imagine if God is like what? I don't know. But that won't even be the best part, even close. Also, we will be in the presence of God. There is but one good, I like this quote, that is God. Everything else is good when it looks to God and bad when it turns from him, as we'll see. And we will have work of some kind. His servants shall serve him in Revelation 22, I want to say, the fulfilling kind of work. But heaven, as we currently picture it, will be destroyed by God. In the end of Revelation, it says, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there is a future heaven, a new heaven, and a new earth. The place itself is not the key. It's the God who lives there. And then, as we get into the converse of that, you have the idea of hell. And again, I want to focus your thought on the idea, what is the greatest possible good that can happen? It is a love relationship with God. That means, if you, two things, first of all, in order for something to be a love relationship, it has to be a choice, right? So we talk about hell. Why hell? Because God does not force us to love or to choose him, right? And this is the keystone of the whole idea, that if you do not want relationship with God, you do not have to have it. But in hell is, of course, judgment of sin and everything else like that, as the scripture talks about. But also you have God giving people what they are wanting, which is separation from relationship with him. And in that, where does every good and perfect gift, again, come from? It comes from the Father of lights. And so if God is the source of all good, and he is the source of all pleasure, and he is the source of all, like, everything that is good, and you say, I willingly and I separate myself from you, then you are also separating yourself from all of those things. And so to me, I think that's the key thing about hell. It's not even so much the fire and the torment and all that kind of stuff, but it is true God saying, okay, your will be done, kind of, and I will give you what you have asked for in separation from me. And that is what makes hell hell, I think. Why hell? Because God does not force us to love or choose him. You should totally look at my notes, because there's a ton of really good quotes by this dude named C.S. Lewis. and another dude named Clive, S.L., and another dude named C. Staples, L. It's just full of C.S. Lewis quotes, basically, is what I'm saying. If the happiness of a creature lies in its self-surrender, love relationship, no one can make that surrender but himself, and he may refuse. I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully, all will be saved. But my reason retorts, without their will or with it. If I say without their will, I instantly perceive a contradiction. How can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? If I say with their will, my reason replies, how if they will not give in? Right? And, of course, you could ask the question, why heaven? And the reality is that God could very justly allow all of us to be separated from relationship with him eternally, right? But he chose not to do that. And he reached out to us as sinners, and he paved the way in every possible way except for that choice at the end. And so it's important, you know? And you can go through this if you want more on hell, if you just like love studying hell. There's some stuff in these notes here, and I'll repost them again just so that you can see it. And you can read through it, but I just want to bring this back to this center thing of it is all about love relationship with the Lord. And because of that, for the Christian, we have a confidence, we have a future, knowing that we will be with the Lord, that we will be in relationship with him in an even deeper way. Though now on earth, we still have that, you know? Not to the degree that we will, but we have it even now. So whatever else happens in the world, even death is no defeat for the Christian. And those are kind of all the thoughts put together. So yeah, the Lord bless you, and we'll pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the confidence that we have in you and the central hope, Lord, relationship with you. I pray if there's anybody in chat who doesn't know you, that they would, Lord, take their life and surrender it to you in that love relationship. You're God, your creator. You've paved the way. Help us to understand the seriousness and depth of sin, Lord, but also to, in that, understand the amazingness of what you've done for us on the cross. So I pray, Lord, sincerely, if there's anybody in chat that doesn't know you, that they would give their lives to you, that they would turn to you, and that they would accept relationship with you and self-surrender, Lord, in that way. Love you, and I praise you. Bless this time in Jesus' name, or this day. Amen.